Okay, so as I said, perfect transition, Viviane, to Ms. Moulton. Do you want to introduce her?
Yes, so we'll speak in Canada with. Gehen wir da jetzt wieder ins Englische zurück.
Mr. Kumpkin, again, thank you very, very much.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me to this session.
We'll surely have to go into the details.
I'll be happy to make myself available. Thank you very much. I'll stick around. I'll listen in.
Because that's what it says in our little schedule here.
Okay, so we have the former IID employee and graduate biologist with us. Maren Moulton. She's been living in Canada since 2001, and she's now basically like embedded, or like at least close to the convoy, the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa. So maybe you could just like give us some information about the situation. That you're in right now.
I can certainly do that. Hello and good day to Germany. It's really exciting to be here. I want to thank you all for the very important work that you're doing in the Corona Ausschuss. It's an honor and privilege to report, to give some insights on the situation here in Canada. I just want to clarify that I was officially not ever an ARD correspondent for North America, because usually that's what the Washington correspondents report to the ARD. There's not a lot of space in the program for anything else. And that is, in fact, a determining influence on the perception of what comes out of Canada. It stands very well on the outside. It's known for its peacekeeping activities everywhere, international involvement all over the world. But unfortunately, it's really underreported, I would think. That Canada, in its interior, for example, is treating original inhabitants of the place miserably. For example, just what we know from Prime Minister Trudeau, and this is a much longer history than only when he was on or became head of the government, that all these official status, Indians or natives or indigenous peoples, every term is politically connotated in some form, just don't have any clean water on the reserves because it's all polluted from some mining activity, or those are locations that are out of the public's eye. And as soon as the light of any media attention is not there, basically these industrial activities don't show much accountability, or don't seem to feel the need to stick to the rules and not pollute the environment. I think it'd be best if I shared my screen first, because I really want to make a point in saying how enforcement interacts with the protesters. For example, just recently, yesterday, there was the whole Parliamentary Hill blocked off with very high barricades. These seem to be, from what I've seen, higher than 3 meters. So there's other material that I want to present you all, but I need to share my screen first of all, if you can allow me that. If you have any questions, because it's not coherent what I'm saying, because yes, I have been embedded in the convoy. I slept in the Kent section of the convoy. There is different sections all over Ottawa and in the outskirts, because these machines obviously are so big and take so much space. They've been separated a little bit, and also authorities directed the convoy arriving to Ottawa on the 28th of January. I have for you all a map as well, because it's a two province situation here in Ottawa, or Gatineau. Gatineau is the sister city of Ottawa on the other side of the river. And when the bridges are blocked off, you can basically impede traffic quite a little bit, or direct traffic quite a little bit, depending on how you open the bridges. Okay, there's five bridges, and for example, the central bridges were blocked. But I want to get to that a little later, so let me try to share my screen. It's a bit improvised, I have to apologize, but sleep is really hard to come by in these sub-zero temperatures, and I have to admit that I also was really busy staying up late at night trying to have my camera running in order to just document what happens there at night, you know, in
the daytime. What is the current status? Is there a standoff between the convoy on the one hand and the government on the other hand? How many trucks are participating, and what kind of problem does this pose for Trudeau?
Standoff is completely that's a complete misrepresentation. Mm-hmm. The convoy is completely peaceful and committed to pacifistic civil disobedience. And I just want to show you some images, because the images just talk so much better than what I could here explain. This is images I just received Friday, I believe. What day is today? Wednesday night, I believe, I received these images. And let me try to play that. That's the wrong one. For example, I would like, with my contribution here, to dispel the misrepresentation in the for-profit commercial media that this convoy and this protest gets. What really is happening, you can see this here, I think. This is on Friday, the 28th of January. And we are being called white supremacists. Okay, that was an initiative of Black Caucus members. Okay. And I have this here. I don't know if you can see that. I'm not sure if I'm sharing the right...
We just saw like a black person on a basically a giant...
Can you see a document right now?
Not yet.
We can see your screen.
Okay, let me just go back to my Finder, because I have another one here. Watch what happens. Everybody's having a good time. It's joyful. The truckers are welcomed by everybody who is on the hill. You see here, everything's fully accessible. There's no barricades just yet, except for a few ones that were there before. See that uniformed person?
So it's a mixed crowd, and everyone seems to be happy about and welcoming the truckers.
Okay, so this is all raw footage. Again, I apologize for the improvised character, but I'm working pretty much five jobs here. And this is where I was. I was on the other side of the river trying to get across the next day. That was Saturday. So this is one bridge that was blocked off. And now I'm going to try to just change my share. New share, I think it is. Naturally Blonde here. Thank you so much for being patient with me. I think I need to go to my Firefox now and share that. I've tried to prepare something with iMovie, but I found out that my computer was totally overwhelmed with the resources that were necessary.
Give us some basic information.
Yes, absolutely.
How many truckers are there?
I would think, from what I know, is there is 5 to 6 to 7 to 10 different sections, and they all are about anything from 20 to 40 to 60 to 100 machines long. So 50,000 trucks, that doesn't represent the amount that is here in the capital of Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
But one also has to understand that it's like a floating market, really. So people come and leave. On the weekend, it's a lot more busy. That means there's a lot of visitors pouring in. We had numbers of 1 million or even 2 million people, but I think that was false information. I have pictures of that as well. I just wanted to say a few things to the situation, because we're dealing with 5 different police forces, okay? The Parliamentary Hill is right here. Do you see the map?
Yeah, we can see the map.
Okay. So this is the McDonald-Cartier Bridge. Okay, this is the bridge I just showed you. This was blocked off here, whereas the Parliamentary Hill is right here. So the buses that we saw, the trucks that we saw pull in, they came this way. This is Wellington. Wellington Street is flanking Parliament. That is federal property. Therefore, you'd be in your lawful presence to police this area with RCMP, which is the Royal Mounted Canadian Police. That is a federal police force.
Mm-hmm.
They also, I believe, are policing the bridges. The bridges are federal property. McDonald-Cartier Bridge, this was, as I said, blocked off. So a lot of people who came in from the province of Quebec, just want to zoom out a little bit. So that's the way to Toronto here. That's the way to Montreal in the east, okay? And this is everybody coming in from the province of Quebec here, from the north side. That's however, why numbers on the first day, on the first days of when all these trucks arrived to the capital, many people couldn't get in the Ontario side. And these trucks were parked over here. For example, there's a few on this street. And I saw other ones. I'd have to show you some images of that.
Give us some more information, please. So we have about 50,000 truckers, probably more. What kind of an impact does it have on the government?
That's the million-dollar question, Herr Dr. Frömmrich. And the reason why that is you have reality happening, and the perception in the public is a different thing. So, for example, if you check on my website, there's a few people having had to resign. For example, the Ottawa police chief slowly resigned. That is a black man, okay? Some people would say, he was there about face in the first place, okay? These people have roles. They signal to the public. What they internally really do, that is questionable, okay? And the same is true for Ottawa South Councillor Diane Deans. I want to invite you all to find out more about that. This is all explained with links on my website. She was heard very in extreme criticism of this peaceful movement. And then basically she was in line for being on the Ottawa Police Board as a representative of the city of Ottawa. She sits in council for Ottawa South. And that didn't happen because of kind of like an interior coup that was orchestrated by the existing mayor of Ottawa, who felt that was too much of a power threat to his position in this struggle, because the protests are not in any way a threat to the residents or to the peace in the streets. That I have to dispel that just out of my own experience, even so I don't have the images right now, or I'm overwhelmed to show you the images and moderate my contribution at the same time. However, let me show you some more images here. These are images from the Ottawa Citizen, a newspaper that celebrates its 175th birthday in Ottawa. So see for yourself, I feel. Okay, jetzt, of course, jetzt, das ist natürlich jetzt noch ein Advertisement hier. Es tut mir leid, das kann ich leider nicht anders machen.
Just let it play. We'll see it. But maybe you can give us information aside from the pictures.
Das hatte ich ja vorhin zuvor eingestellt. Jetzt erlaubt mir das natürlich nicht.
What I mean, we have received videos of, for example, a former security person who used to protect Trudeau. He resigned. And he's giving a powerful speech. We're going to play that at the end of today's session. There's a trucker, for example, who explains how the truckers will make it happen that the share prices of some of the corporations that are helping the government with their plan, how he's going to make, or they're going to make, their share prices collapse. We can see from these pictures that this is peaceful. We can see that there's all kinds of people, including Black people, Indigenous people, who are participating in this protest. How many people are there?
I can't tell you that. That's really difficult to estimate. I would think there is at least hundreds of thousands of visitors coming and walking around in the convoy sections. And that's Saturday, Friday, Sunday. Those are very, very busy days. I would think that's hundreds of thousands of people. It's just going to be more, I would think, because Canadians don't feel that it is necessary to invoke a former War Measures Act. That is total overkill. Looking at how peaceful these people are, I want to show you some of the interviews. Would you like to see these images to the end that the Ottawa Citizen has compiled? Or would you like to move on to some of my own images?
Move on to some of your own images.
Okay. This is a scene that I have pictured that I captured at night at a fire, at a sacred fire. And this is really Ottawa City Police and City Police of the municipalities of Durham and York, that are usually not in Ottawa, seizing gas cans when solidaric protesters try to refuel and hand over gas to the convoy protesters. This man is very much in favor of the policing, and he's defending the police officers. Later on, I have a trucker who also makes a statement about why he is in this convoy and why he is there at night on site to give testimony. Please bear with me here.
We can't hear anything. This is without sound. But, you know, like, this is like a while ago. It's like, what's the current situation? Because there were also information that, you know, the military, like, approached the truckers, or, like, has that, is that true or not? Or At least I don't know what the current claimed situation is.
First of all, to my knowledge, any new law that is being introduced needs two or three sessions to be passed. Now, it's questionable if Parliament is going to sit as it usually sits, because sessions are not like they used to be, to say the least about that. But that's not what I've concentrated on. Like I tried to explain, I'm not really a political observer. I've been with the people on the street, and I have lots of material about that.
Okay, so, but is there any police activity or like military activity that you could witness or that people told you about? Or not yet?
I have not seen any military. However, if the War Measures Act, that is now called the Emergency Act, the Emergency Measures Act, it's like kind of like a rebranding, that would make it legitimate to send in military to deal with the safety at the protest site, for example. So we're on the way to that, but that is not current law as far as I understand that.
What do you know about Trudeau? Where is he? What is he doing?
The last time I saw him, as a matter of fact, I haven't seen him in person at all. I see him on the screen. That's a really good question, you know, because apparently he made an appearance in Parliament when a liberal of his own ranks criticized his emergency response and then just walked out of Parliament. That was a few days ago. That was 5 days ago, approximately. So he has not addressed the protesters. He has not made an appearance on site. He's not present when it comes to any kind of strategy, how the protesters are going to even be heard about their demands, which are very simple, and that is to drop the mandates for cross-border travel and commercial delivery.
So does he have a strategy, or does he give the appearance that he doesn't know what's going on? I mean, if you describe that scene 5 days ago, someone from his own party criticized him and he just walks out of Parliament. It appears to me that he's not in control of anything.
He is a puppet, and he's executing deals that are not visible in the public. It's been well documented that he is a scholar of the Davos School, and he expressed sympathy for the Chinese social credit system. China is a big underlying influence, as far as I'm concerned, because the Canadian infrastructure is miserable, to say the least. We need roads and trains, and also the waterways are very sensitive, and they don't appear to me as a biologist as a good way to facilitate the exploitation of the resources, which there are many. We're just scratching that.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it's a big, powerful underlying geopolitical influence that China really wants to get at these resources. And likewise, as we can see all over the world in the Road and Belts projects, develop that infrastructure so they can actually get at the resources. That's a big problem here in Canada. I mean, noteworthy also to say, for example, even so, we have these really big tar sands in the West. That's always been an issue of division between the West and the East of Canada. We can't refine that oil. We have one or two refineries in Canada. We ship it all out for pennies on the dollar and then buy it back. A lot of Canadians don't know that. That is a misconception, it's another misrepresentation, because Canadians really don't benefit from their own resources. Corporate shareholders are entitled to these claims for very little money. I think you can file a resource claim with the mineral ministry in Ottawa, the federal authorities facilitating that for about $10 to $20, and then you have the right to dig up somebody's backyard without ever coming up for any damages to repair that, because the Mining Act, which a lot of people say it's completely outdated and needs reformation and an overhaul, allows for that. It gives you the right, if you claim the stake, this like old-fashioned North American resource exploitation, like 200 and 250 years ago, just like the times of the gold rush. It's still the same thing. You claim your stake and it's yours. And the population has a back seat in this. This has been Canada's struggle for sovereignty apart from the indigenous peoples. These are all common struggles. However, every group struggles for themselves.
It's a big game of division.
That's all I can say.
So it looks like it's the same problem like everywhere. People have to understand who their real enemy is, and they have to understand that they cannot rely on their own leadership because it's not their leadership. This seems to be particularly true with respect to Trudeau, as he is, everybody knows this in the meantime, a graduate of the Young Global Leaders Program. He doesn't seem to be capable of dealing with the situation. If he receives criticism from his own party, he just leaves parliament. How do the people react to the measures? One of the measures being that they're going to get fined if the truckers, if they give truckers food or gas. Do they help them regardless of these measures, or are they caving into the measures?
Some are and some are not. That's also a really good question.
So we don't really know what's going on in Canada.
The people, well, I would regret if I leave you with that impression, because my impression is that the people who are parked in the trucks and in limousines and vehicles for solidarity or out of their own concern and being affected by these measures, of which there are many, they are doing what they've always done. They are there because they believe in that cause and they want a better Canada that goes back to its tradition of being a free country and helping everybody else to also be free and welcome everybody who needs more freedom. That is how the population sees their country. And that is why it is so questionable not to fly the Canadian flag. I personally think it's really contrived to characterize the protesters as misogynists. That was one of the quotes that we also had from Prime Minister Trudeau.
We all know that this is bullshit. I mean, there's no other way than calling this bullshit. It's like calling anyone who questions any of the measures Nazi, right-wing.
Exactly.
This is a knee-jerk response with absolutely no basis, and I don't think anybody falls for this anymore, except those who have no brain or the brain of an amoebe. We will play at the end of this, of today's session, we will play the two videos. One of them is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer who used to be a security detail for Trudeau. He resigned his post and he gives a great speech in which he says why he's resigning this post. And of course, the trucker who says, we're going to bring you down. We're going to make your market, your share prices collapse. I think that gives us a pretty good idea, even though it seems to be hard to tell from your point of view, whether or not the population is caving in or trying to help the truckers. We've seen lots of evidence that they are trying to help the truckers, but of course it is obvious that some people will not be able to withstand the pressure that the government applies on them.
It's really a division with changing and fluid borders. Mm-hmm. And whenever there is a gathering, of which there are many, of people coming together at the protest sites, wherever there is a confrontation, I want to show you one thing maybe. Even so, when I played out of my Firefox, you didn't have any sound?
We didn't have any sound, no.
Okay. Well, maybe I can just comment on that. People are invited to join the protests. Every time there's a confrontation, the protesters make it very, very clear, we want you on the right side of history. There is a lot of confusion and it's well orchestrated, and it's something that the state of Canada is used to and very well versed in, it, as so to keep the oppression up at all. For many observers who have been here for a longer time, this is just a continuation of the division that has been in Canada before. But these fronts are not in stone. This is a moving group and a diverse group. And I think every day, as this goes on longer and longer, and with every new weekend that we have more people come to the Capitol and reclaim their public property, it's going to be interesting this weekend, as I mentioned, because now there's been high barricades erected on the Parliamentary Hill. More people will join the protests and understand that the government has not to micromanage their lives, but the function of government is to assure that every person and every business in the state can also access the market and all the amenities that are there for a society that tax finances such amenities. So this is from the 12th of February. It's all well documented as well. These are Canadian veterans removing barriers from the war memorial that had to be protected. So annoying.
I have a question.
This in 2 seconds here.
Yeah. I have a question. This is Canada, such a state with such a big democratic and civil potential, where the people are awake and are courageous. And so how could it happen that such a state becomes a failing state? Now Canada, in my eyes, is a failing state. And how long did it take? Was there some discussion on the way, or is it a surprise? How did it happen? It's very, very difficult to understand.
That's a really good question. And I think you are very much characterizing a typical impression that is in Europe about Canada. I had that impression myself. It's a great place and people have great quality of life and it's all about tolerance and freedom. But in fact, the resources are pretty much chained to 8 different families, which, in its extreme occurrences is casting the image of a rather feudal society, because people who are not born with means and properties are like the American situation, unable to move up in the society out of their own effort. That is almost impossible now. So if you are born poor, you probably staying poor all your life until you have some way of financing an education. And even then, many people, they have a good education, they also can find jobs. So it's been a subtle, hidden development to chip away at the middle class. I mean, the economic crisis of the last 20 years have done something to that. That hasn't gone unnoticed or without consequences. So the whole place is, it's just that this 1% and 99% on the other side has become more and more expressed. So the differences are just more extreme now. The richer are richer, the poorer are poorer, and there's a lot less middle class. And besides, I mean, with the deficit now, we've been printing the money to finance this crisis. And we've been printing ourselves into the crisis, really. That's another thing I really got to mention, seeing that my material indeed is a little bit older than the very current developments. People are withdrawing their money. And I've seen in the Telegram channels that I'm subscribed to by the truckers and some other info channels that I'm monitoring, that people are recommending everybody goes and takes their money either to credit unions or withdraws their cash or makes sure that they always have enough cash at hand, because of course the currency is devalued. There's been attempts to seize the funds, for example, that were donated over the GoFundMe page. And I've heard, the last thing I've heard is that the convoy is going to be moving to cryptocurrency. Now, the commercial banks have developed their own cryptocurrency that they, of course, want to control. Very important remark that we heard to the murdering of Muammar Gaddafi. In fact, the dollar is really more and more devalued. This is the same development that we're seeing.
This is an underlying scenario. The dollar is losing its value. But as you mentioned, did I understand you correctly? The convoy is turning to cryptocurrency, meaning this may be the start of a parallel currency in Canada.
They had raised $9.5 million over the GoFundMe page. Uh-huh. And then for some power scheme that I really can't explain, the influence from the Privy Council was so that this money was seized with citing reasons of foreign influence and terrorist organization and so on and so forth, when in fact it was all small amount donations by ordinary Canadians, who then, because there was such a public outcry on the next day, were welcome to claim their money back from the GoFundMe page. Okay, so the restriction was lifted again the next day. People got their money back who donated, and many of them then donated double the amount in a different way. One can also email money to the convoy, for example, in email money transfers. That's a popular means of transferring money within the borders of Canada, because there's no fees related to that. And it's just like an email. I don't know if that works in Germany as well. But within Canada, this is how people like to transfer money quick and easy from their email accounts, basically, in combination with their bank accounts. So cryptocurrency, as it's being developed independently, cannot be controlled. That's an important difference, I think, to the commercial banking system, because the transactions are agreed to at a certain rate, at a certain time, and that is anonymous. That is server orchestrated. This all runs on Linux servers that are fairly reliable, I would think. And no one person or no one institution can manipulate that. I don't know if anybody still remembers the LIBOR scandal. People manipulate the currencies whichever way they want, and then we forget about that. So it's really noteworthy to understand that the system as it is under the influence of the chosen few, and always has been. And only some of the manipulations have we even noticed, is my conclusion out of that. Now, moving to cryptocurrency would really be a way around that. I don't know of any way to manipulate independent cryptocurrency. I would stay away from the commercial banks, but independent cryptocurrency should protect from these kind of manipulations, as far as I know that.
Well, if that is going to be one of the outcomes of this, that is encouraging, because a distrust of banks is always healthy, as we've seen from many, many, many banking crises. And as we now know, it is through the financial industry, which is more aptly called financial mafia, that they're manipulating everything, including the pharmaceutical and the tech industry. So well, in that
unfortunately,
sense,
Rainer, I think that the cryptocurrency is not like 100% the way out, because there's also like various aspects that don't, one would need to look closer in, like who, you know, who's maybe behind the seemingly independent cryptocurrencies. And, you know, there's a lot of things one would need to say. But in general, you know, the idea of something that's mined, you know, separate from the banks, and I think is in general the way to go, to disconnect that's from the whole banking system. System, what you just said. But it's interesting to see that the people are, you know, donating the maybe double the amount and are still seem to be going strong with their support for, you know, what's happening there with the Freedom Truckers. So I think that's like encouraging to some extent. Let's see how what's going to happen. And here I see on your Sky News Australia, Trudeau has lost control of Canada. At least that seems to be the official narrative. So we have to see what's going to happen.
Let's watch these images, Frau Fischer. Then you're going to see why that is. If I just may resume this clip of the veterans, those are soldiers, former soldiers, okay? Big, strong guys. And the RCMP, who also is in charge of the monuments, which are all federal property, they are known for bullying people who can't fight back, okay? I don't want to make this a general statement, but many of these cases surfaced. So if there is people who actually can stand their ground, because just the sheer physique is at an equality, is at par with the enforcement, then they backed away from that. So watch that happening. I think that lead up to the perception that Canada, that the federal government under Trudeau, in fact, did lose control of the enforcement of the monopoly on violence. That is, of course, the characteristic of a lawful state and a lawful society, that enforcement is lawful and that the government is lawful. I think that's what people are most upset about. Now, here they are praying, okay? These are all God-fearing people. I'm really sorry, I don't have sound to that. The sound plays on my end, but be it. Later on, I think the barricades are removed.
It's because you have the sound on mute.
Yeah. I can turn it on. I was under the impression that also didn't work, but I'm happy to turn it back on.
I guess it doesn't work.
Oh man, it doesn't work maybe.
Now they're singing the national anthem.
Well, we unfortunately can't hear it.
Thank you for letting me know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to need to install a sound module in order to facilitate that over Zoom. I had all kinds of problems, and I'm being my own technician, so I apologize for...
There must be more evidence for the equation, the conclusion that many people draw, the government has failed. Trudeau is failing. I mean, this is part of the picture, but there must be more.
I don't really know what to answer on that. It's really difficult to say anything about that. I believe the government is very worried to be perceived in that way. For example, I can see police cars, and that is the same four police cars driving around in a big hurry, trying to show as if they were busy, trying to appear as if they were doing things. And there's a heightened police presence on Bank and Kent Street. Lots of police cruisers are parked there from Ottawa City Police. Now, these are, I'm not quite sure what kind of police force are there. If that was RCMP, that would be legitimate because, as I tried to explain, the monuments, the war monument here is federal property. So you see them withdraw now. You see them go away. Okay, this lady who shot the video, so she's just an observer herself. or a protester. People have different reasons for being at these protests.
Well, you don't go to protests if you agree with the current situation. So there must be one unifying reason, which means they protest what the government is doing.
Some are, and some are not. Some are instigation is really the name of the game here, or even subversion. So there's lots of people, there is always the occasional person trying to influence the perception. For example, as a reporter on the ground, of course, you're trying to tune into what people say on the street. But obviously, they don't all say the same. So, for example, in this situation here, let me turn this back on. So this man was very much in favor of the police force. I talked to another gentleman, and he told me, oh, yeah, this was just about a car trying to back up out of an area where it couldn't get out. And that's why the police officers blocked the street. But in fact, they were blocking that street so the vehicle with the seized gas cans behind that police line with the red toques could seize these gas containers and disappear. Okay, so this man here, that is a trucker. Okay, he's part of the convoy protest. And so...
Okay, you know what? It would be great if you could maybe like put together like a maybe link list or like videos from your own that you took, maybe for our audience to later look at this, because it's it's a lot of details and it's kind of hard to for us to get the overview, especially since we can't hear what these people are saying. So, but I think it would be, I think I have a little bit of an impression how, or like quite a bit of impression of what you think the current situation is, and maybe if you could put together like some more of the current events so people can maybe like in a comprised way look at that. That would be fantastic. And then maybe we can get back together with you like in some maybe next week or so we can see what the development has been, because we also have here our new guest live on stage, and it would be great if we could maybe then get some information from you like as things developed, like a breaking news, what you call this, like a developing story.
Mrs. Fischer, I thank you very much. I apologize again for the bit improvised presentation.
It's no problem.
I'm very much embedded in favor of what you say. And especially, I want to point out my Twitch channel, where I have many fantastic interviews with these fantastic everyday Canadians who just want their freedoms back. They don't want to be hassled. They don't want to show a vax pass to go in a restaurant. You know, that makes the reporting so much harder. Try to find a washroom. You know, I didn't get any of the injections. I can't see the benefit of it. Apparently, there's a much bigger scheme going on, and we are all just laboratory rats to that. Many people see through that. Many people don't see through that yet. But the people protesting are trying to make it clear for everybody else that Canada is not a place where authorities and government micromanage every aspect of daily life. And that is a wonderful thing to see, especially as I have to say, the whole communication is facilitated without the digital interception of it. So there is this, these are one-on-ones, people on the street talking directly to each other. This is what I captured in my Twitch channel, which is, of course, at twitch.tv/abroadcom. It's questionable how long it's going to be up. I mean, I don't have a lot of subscribers, so my interviews are hosted 14 days. Usually then I got to do something else with them. And also it's noteworthy that Twitch is Amazon owned. That is, of course, one of the big players who made billions in these last 2 years. So that's, you got to take that for what it is, I guess. But again, twitch.tv/abroadcom, or you can also go to my website at abroadcom.net to follow up on these things on a local level. I try to do as much as I can, but my resources are limited. And if you'd like to fundraise for me, you can also, of course, also donate on my website. I very much appreciate that. And thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I just love your show, and you're doing these really important sessions for all the world to understand what is really going on and how this is being exploited.
Thank you very much.
So keep your ears up straight over there.
Thank you all very much. Auf Wiedersehen.